Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Man, it's been a busy few days. It has been. I want to thank everybody that has come out and purchased new copies of The Dude or ordered new copies of The Dude. I wanted to kind of give you guys an update. So all the limited edition books were signed on Thursday, along with some of the regular stock. The rest of the regular stock was signed on yesterday, which was Sunday. So they have already begun shipping out books, but please be patient with them. As you can imagine, we've had thousands of books to accommodate, and the historical nature of this book, obviously there's a lot of demand for this book. So we got bookstores and gift shops and people like that kind of calling, wanting to carry the book because many of you are calling them, asking them if they have it. The distribution for that is kind of ongoing this week as well, but the priority is to get these online orders out. So give them a few days. You'll probably get some notification that your book is shipped and things like that. But yeah, give it a few days before you start hitting me up. I don't control anything to do with shipping. However, you know, if you do have a problem, hit me up and I'll do my best to inquire, but your best bet is to go to the dutynoblebook.com. That's dutynoblebook.com website, and there is a contact us link there. But again, give us a few days, okay? Please don't panic. I wish everybody could have it all today. But yeah, you guys have been amazing. We've had a tremendous amount of online orders. I think there is a good chance we run out of books before Christmas. So the first printing. So we'll have to do a second one for baseball season. But yeah, it's been great. And we originally, the Friday signing downtown was kind of on again, off again. It was the unwind event. We went down there. The official release date party was Saturday at Book Martin Cafe downtown. When we have home games, I am almost always there on Sunday. Almost always. And we don't always advertise that, but I was there Friday night, Saturday morning and early afternoon, and then Sunday afternoon, and sold a lot of books every day, and continuing to get a lot of online orders. So if you want to order, and all books through the website are signed, go to dutynoblebook.com. Of course, had the opportunity on Friday to present Dr. Mark Keenum with a limited edition copy of the book. That's pretty cool, right? And it was nice to sit and visit with Dr. Keenum. It's interesting, too. There were some, a lot of the stories that I shared with him, he did not know about. And if Doc doesn't know about him, Sid Salter doesn't know about him, Mike Nemeth, Dave Murray, it makes me feel really good about the research. We're kind of unearthing some hidden gems, but also telling some stories and never been told before. Yeah, that's cool, too. And so eager to get your reviews of the book. I worked exceptionally hard on that. On Tuesday afternoon, after our football media opportunity, I'll be driving to deliver some books to Duty Noble's family. And that will be a very, very special meeting for me. I first met with them last December, I guess it was, when I kind of got serious about all this. Went and met with them in December. And so now this will be, I guess, the fourth meeting that I've had with them. And so in about 10 months' time, we've gone from getting to know each other to delivering books to them. And eager to visit with Francis and Mitzi on Tuesday. And just kind of, you know, hey, talk about what we've uncovered. You know, I've given them progress reports throughout this whole process. And, you know, if anybody deserves some books, it's them, you know, right? They've been so incredibly kind to me. If you know them, then you love them. They are those kinds of people. To know them is to love them. And it has been one of the greatest joys of my life to kind of get to know Duty Noble's family. And they were so excited. It's so interesting. When I first went and met with them, Frances' phone rings not long after I get there. And she goes, "Hey, I'm sorry, Steve, I have to take this. This is my son calling." And I said, "Sure." And so she's like, yeah. She answers the phone and she's like, yeah, he's here. And she hangs up and she goes, "Hey, well, we don't waste his time." And says, "My son's here and wanted me to know what a big deal it is that you're here." I don't know if that's true, but I can tell you, I've put together what I believe the best book of the seven that I have written. If you're a fan of my writing, I think you're going to love this one. But also, too, you're probably going to be the most knowledgeable Mississippi State fan in your circle of friends when it comes to the history of Mississippi State sports by reading this book. There's a lot of things that kind of explain kind of how we got here in many respects. Some pretty incredible times that Duty Noble helped navigate through as a student athlete, a coach, and certainly as administrator. And there's going to be some stories in there, too. They're going to make you a little bit angry. It's not all, unicorns and rainbow farts and all that good stuff. You know, it's or vice versa, whatever you'd say, rainbows and unicorn farts. But you understand, we have to tell the truth. And so I think you're going to read some things in there. You're going to be very surprised about how some people's names that you may know acted and negatively impacted our athletic department. And the descendants of those people are alive and well today. And so I didn't write this book with the intention of just kind of writing, a happy, happy, joy book. I just wanted to write the truth. That's what we've done. And some of it is disturbing, the right word? Maybe. There's some shameful things that happened within our history. And so I've written about those in great detail. There's also a couple of instances, too, that have been kind of mischaracterized over the years that some people have tried to push shame on Mississippi State and some of our former leaders. And in some respects, I believe I've exonerated them with the truth. It's true. Be sure and check that out again, DutyNobleBook.com. Hey, let me tell you, my friends at Bulldog Burger Company, they're eager to serve you, too. It's always great, too, when we have a run of home games because you guys get a chance to come up here and enjoy some of your favorite restaurants. Bulldog Burger Company, I know, is at the top of that list. And no matter where you're traveling from, you've got an opportunity to stop at Bulldog Burger Company. You can get all the way to Starkville and go to University Drive, or you can stop in Tupelo on the way in, or you can stop in the Ridge and Flowood area. That's Lake Harbor Drive out there. And it's consistency with what they do at each location. I encourage you to make your children feel like they're in charge in some respects and say, "Hey, we were thinking about you. Let's go to Bulldog Burger Company," but you and I both know you're kind of going selfishly. You know they're going to be happy, but so are you, because you're going to get a great quality meal from Bulldog Burger Company. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. Pick out a great burger. If you're new to Bulldog Burger Company, let me advise you, start with the Bulldog. Okay, that is a tried and true classic, okay? Great American rock and roll straight ahead hamburger. Add some cheese on there. Let's live a little bit. I get mine with no onions. You may do it differently. That's okay. And then get that chocolate shake to go. But after you've had the Bulldog as your introductory, maybe your gateway burger, maybe you want to venture out a little bit and be a little more exotic in your taste, they can accommodate you in that. I'm still kind of on a smokehouse kick. Be sure and check that out next time you're in town. The Pimentology add bacon. That's one that'll put some hair on your chest. Get that chocolate shake to go. I advise you to order that maybe about 10 minutes before you're done. That way, when you're paying your check, you can get your shake, and you can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right. Another 10-point loss. And, hey, did the Bulldogs play well? Are the Bulldogs improving? Yes, they are. Am I tired of losing? Yes, I am. And nobody's more tired of losing than our players and coaches and support staff and people like that. But, we're all in this thing together. That's a frustrating part about this, right? Because you and I, we're kind of powerless in that respect. We can continue to offer our loyalty and our support and ring our cowbells and things of that nature and be as positive as we can. But we've got to get some return on that investment and get some return on it soon. I'll tell you, we'll look ahead some to Arkansas a little bit later in the show. Have our full preview on Wednesday. I feel really good about the weekend. But let's look back at the weekend it was. Mississippi State wins the toss, elects to receive. So for the seventh consecutive game, the Jeff Levy era, Bulldogs start out on offense. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know. I need to ask about this. And I should have asked about this Saturday night or maybe even today. Why do we always fair catch the kickoff when it appears to be returnable? Because you negate the possibility of the return. You know, it's like, well, yeah, we may get hit and stopped inside the 20-yard line. Well, that's what happens here. We fair catch it. I guess that's not true. We do return it here. And we get flagged for a penalty. So it ends up being half a distance to the goal. So we go from the 16 to the 8. Is that right? Maybe so. I don't know. But anyway, we start out in the shadow of our own goalpost. And so it's an impressive drive, though. I mean, how many times have we seen that where we kind of put ourselves in a negative position and we stay there? We come out very first play. We get it out to Mario Craver for 13 yards. So immediately we go from the 8 to the 21, and it's a first down. Craver then runs off left side. It's a 5-yard loss, and they really did a big job. But we knew Nick Scorton was going to do it. We talked about him all week. There were times when he wanted to take over the game, and he did. He kind of dictated terms to us. It's a 5-yard loss here. So, you know, we get the first down. Now it's second and 15. We run right, and I thought we found some things in their front that enabled us to run early. They ran some stunts, and we kind of caught them in that, and we gassed them a little bit. This is one of those plays, 13 yards for Booth. Next thing you know, we go quick, and it's a 40-yard burst through the middle down to the A&M 31. Really good job there. Come back with Johnny Daniels for a gain of 2, and then Daniels again off the left side for nothing. So that makes it a 3rd and 8. And Michael Van Buren gets flushed and gets 7 down to the Texas 22. Rather than just kick the field goal, we're there to win the game, okay? And you hear Levy talking about it. We got to get touchdowns instead of field goals. He kind of put his money where his mouth was here. We give it to Johnny Daniels. We got a bad spot on this, but we still got the first down. I thought it should have been closer to the 20. They gave us the 21. Turns out it didn't matter. On 1st and 10, Van Buren is incomplete to Sadu. Down to the Texas 9. I thought this ball could have been caught. On 2nd and 10, we're incomplete to Mario Craver. And again, this is one of those ones where if we're a little bit on time and more in rhythm, it's a touchdown. Similar to that play against Texas A&M, just a little more compressed here. We had Craver open, flashing to the post. And we miss him. And you could hear the collective groan in the crowd, right? All right, we get it out to Kevin Coleman now at the Texas 14-yard line. It brings up another one, you know, a possession play here. And we call timeout. We talk about it. And we get it out to Davin Booth. 14 yards for the touchdown. Extra point is good. State with a 7-0 lead, which is the biggest early lead we have had over an SEC opponent this year. Yeah, we were up 3-0 against Georgia, 7-0 up against A&M. And all of a sudden you look at this and it's like, okay, the Bulldogs are here to play. A&M, their drive starts at the 20-yard line. Is that right? No, it's not. It's 25. And they run off the box score is a little bit convoluted here. Yeah, so we kick off here and it's a 20-yard return to the Texas A&M 26. They run Barber off the right side for 1, come back to Moss for 3. So right out of the gate, it's a 3rd down, right? And how many times did we talk about that? There were so many times we played really good defense on 1st and 2nd down. And Levy kind of mentioned that today in his comments. And we couldn't get off the field on 3rd down. I think they converted their first 7 3rd downs. At one point, I look up, it's 8 out of 9, and I stopped. I stopped charting it. But here we go. They get it out to Barber, who moves the chains here, and nearly make a stop here, but we don't. Into the play is a 1st down. They take a shot to Noah Thomas, and it's incomplete. Makes it 2nd and 10. Amari Daniels in off the left side for 7. So again, here we go. 3rd down again. 3rd and 3. And it's a 14-yard gain. 1st down. Connor Wegman, then complete to Barber. No gain here. Isaac Smith and Stone Blanton, really great play here defensively. And Stone's really starting to kind of come in his own a little bit here. You know who Isaac Smith is. I mean, he's constantly in the numbers. But Stone, the last 3 weeks, as the step up in competition has increased, so has his level of play. I'm happy with what we're seeing from Stone Blanton. Early on, some people were like, hey, this guy's just not getting it done. Well, the last 3 weeks, he has. They go back to Moss for three, makes it, you know, third and seven. Here we go again, third and seven. And then Moss gets loose off the left side for 30 yards. However, it's coming back. It's an illegal shift. An even bigger third down, what do? They get it to Amari Daniels. First down again, third down, can't get off the field. First and 10 now, they go off the left side for a one-yard gain. Back to Daniels for one, and again, third down again. Third and eight, what happens? Complete to Barber for nine. First down. And next thing you know, it's a touchdown. They take a shot down the field. It's caught by Noah Thomas. Touchdown, extra points, good, 7-7. But how many times on that drive do we have an opportunity to get off the field? We didn't. And it wasn't, you know, there were a couple times they actually gashed us, but more times than not, it's right at the sticks. It's right at the line of the game. Kickoff, and what do you know? We get a personal foul penalty on Javay Gilmore. So now it's half a distance to the goal. So the original drive that went 92 yards starts at our 8. This one starts at the 13. So we're not winning the battle of field position by any stretch of the imagination here. All right, we take over here, and you think, man, Steve, our second possession, we're off to a great start. Guys, the quarter is nearly over. With our ability to run, their ability to run and extend drives on the control passing game, I mean, the first two drives eat up the majority of the quarter. Just 2:41 to go in the first quarter. We get the ball back for our second possession. It's nuts, man. Van Buren gets flushed and goes ahead for two. We go back to Daniels for two, and it's third down for us, and we get it out to Craver, who is emerging as a star for Mississippi State, moves the chains first down. We go to Johnny Daniels. Basically, right off the right guard there, we get 8 yards. Very manageable situation. Second and two, we go back to Daniels, and it's one of those inspired runs, man. It's like Johnny just refuses to go down, and that's something that he has. I think a lot of Bulldog running backs have not had in recent years. And it's 25 yards all the way to the Texas 39 that runs out the quarter. So Bulldogs off to a good start here. Again, it's a tie ball game, and State on the move as we get ready to flip the field to go to the second period. You ever Googled yourself? You may be alarmed to know exactly how much of your private information and data is out there for anybody to access. Whether it be your phone number, your home address, or details about your family. It could be your kids' names, their ages. Whether you agree to this disclosure or not. And that's because data brokers are collecting and selling your information to marketers, scammers, and basically anyone willing to pay. It's the reason robocallers know your name, and while ads seem to follow you on every digital platform out there. Well, Aura fights back for you. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a data breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just data broker removal. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your life online. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager to keep all your logins safe, and they even give you spam call protection to cut off those stupid scammers. Aura also scans the dark web regularly for your most sensitive information, like your social security number, bank logins, passwords, and they will notify you instantly if you are somehow exposed. If your identity is ever stolen, you're backed up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support to help you recover everything quickly. Other services charge about the same, but they only cover one or two areas. With Aura, you get it all. Data broker removal, credit and identity monitoring, device protection, and fraud support, all with one simple app. Aura removes what is already exposed, protects what isn't, and puts you back in control. Right now, you can try Aura free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That gives them plenty of time to go ahead and start protecting your data. They can remove your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are all safeguarded. That's aura, A-U-R-A.com/remove. Certain terms and conditions apply. Be sure and check it out today at aura.com.
If weight management is one of your New Year goals, Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier can help. This science-backed formula supports metabolic balance, curbs cravings, and promotes healthy blood sugar levels, making it easier to stay consistent and in control. It helps give your body the boost it needs to keep you on track. Feel confident and energized this year with Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right, first and 10 now. We go to Daniels for a one-yard gain. On second down, Van Buren is sacked for a loss of 6. And we think, okay, great. We're at their 44. Got to make a play here. And then it's back-to-back sacks. This time, Cassius Howell on the sack there. So back-to-back sacks negates a very promising drive from Mississippi State. We get inside the Texas 40. We get nothing from it. Actually go backwards once we penetrate the 40-yard line there. And Nick Barmira with a punt of 31 yards. Really not a great punt here. They fair catch at the 19. God, we got to do a better job there. I got to have at least a 40-yard punt here. We got to get these guys pinned inside the 10-yard line. We don't. Going to put the game in the hands of our defense. And it kind of felt like right here, you know, we get off schedule a little bit, right? And these are the game within the game. You know, they get a stop. And what do? They go put it in the end zone. Connor Wegman incomplete to Cyrus Allen. Makes it 2nd and 10. They give it to Moss off the left side for 3. Makes it 3rd and 7. So, again, another big 3rd down here. And it's complete. Ends up being a 58-yard gain. Kelly Jones runs him down there. Not great. Not great all the way down to the state 20. Connor Wegman then is incomplete. Brings up a 2nd and 10. They give it to Daniels, who gets 6. 3rd down again. Should be a money down for us. But instead, we can't get a stop here. We give up 5 yards. Blanton and Smith on the tackle once again, but it's now 1st and goal situation. They give it to Moss, who goes off the right side for 9. Kind of a scrum those final 2 yards, and they get it in. But a very efficient drive here for Texas A&M. State with a chance to climb back in it here. Our 3rd possession of the game, we take over 10-29. We had the fair catch again on the kickoff. Go off right side for 1 yard to Booth. We come back then. It's complete to Davin Booth. And we get 17 yards there. So nice little chunk play there. 1st and 10. We get it to Craver. Another 1st down. So now we're starting to kind of build some momentum. And we're across midfield now for the 3rd consecutive drive. We go to Booth up the middle for 1. Makes it a 2nd and 9. And then we take a shot down the field here. And Kevin Coleman, a great grab here for 38 yards inside the Texas 10-yard line at the 7. And you think we're about to tie this thing up. Van Buren goes off left side and gets dumped for a 5-yard loss. And again, here we are behind the chains again. Now it's 1st and goal from the 12. We're incomplete to Davin Booth. This one's broken up. Nearly picked. Van Buren gets flushed and runs for 6 yards. And they hit him out of bounds or right on the white. And then they sit there and woof and woof and woof and woof and woof and woof and woof. And there's no flag there. And listen, I'm not looking to get bailed out here. But if we're going to have the rules, let's enforce them. And speaking of rules, we are flagged for illegal formation there. They decline the penalty. We kick a field goal from 24 yards out. Now it's 14-10. And the crowd's into the ballgame. But you, like me, you're thinking, Steve, can we get a stop? Can we get a stop? Well, we do. Moss goes off the left side for 3, makes it 2nd and 7. And then Hunter Washington, a great diving interception here. The pass intended for the tight end there is high and wide. And Hunter Washington makes a great play. And now all of a sudden you start thinking, Steve, we may get this thing. We pick it off. We're on the short side of the field now at the Texas 47. And we have a problem sometimes with these turnovers. We can't stand prosperity. We're complete now to Kevin Coleman for 7. Makes it 2nd and 3 from the Texas 40. We give it to Daniels. He stacked up for a 2-yard loss. It's 3rd and 1 here. And then Daniels runs again on the right side for a one-yard loss. And so, again, we're second and three, and then we give up three on back-to-back plays. Makes it a fourth and six. We decided to go for it. I was okay with us going, and I kind of have to be talking that a little bit. I didn't like our play call. I didn't like our situation here. You got to know they're going to go zero coverage here. And Mike gets flushed. We roll left, and he throws a pick to Scooby Williams. Hindsight's always 20/20, but you know what? If we punt this thing from their 43, you got a chance to pin them back inside the 10. Instead, we give them a short field here. It's returned 32 yards to the state 28. Jordan Mosley on the tackle there. And it didn't take long for Texas A&M to cash in. Again, we had every opportunity to stay in this ballgame. Every opportunity. At 14-10 with the football, we end up turning it over. I know it's a bonus possession. Not great. All right. They give it to Le'Veon Moss here off the right side for three. Go back to him on the left side for four. Makes it a third and three again. Up the middle, nothing. Now it's fourth down play. They decide to go for it. And just basically take a shot here at the inside pylon on the right side. And Hunter Washington is flagged for PI. I don't think this ball had a chance to be caught. But, you know, you're out there hand fighting with a receiver. There's a lot of contact on both sides. I thought it was a pretty obvious call. It was the right call. I didn't like it. I need Hunter to make a play right there. Hunter might have even picked that thing off and taken it back 99 yards. But you got to play the football here. You got to play the football. And that, because of the fact of where it was located, it's now a first and goal situation, 15 yards down to the state six. And they give it to Daniels, who runs it right in for six. Extra points, good. Now it's 21-10. And it already feels like the game is getting away from us, right? That's how it felt. And I told Mike Nemeth, man, if we don't get points here, this thing is going to get ugly because A&M gets the ball first out of the half. We run the two-minute drill here. Take over at 148. And this was a masterclass of efficiency by Michael Van Buren. Really pleased with how he managed this. We run up the middle for six, which I'm not a big fan of, on first down. It's not under 2 minutes. And then Van Buren gets flushed and runs for eight, first down. Same situation kind of unfolds here, and this time we get a two-yard gain. You're better off just throwing this ball away, okay? So I just talked about it was a masterclass in efficiency. That's one I'd like to have back. Van Buren then completes to Kelly Akari. Great catch. And, man, what a great job Kelly does working back to the quarterback when there is some pressure there. It's a veteran guy doing a veteran play. 14 yards, first down. Same situation unfolds the very next play. Mike is getting flushed. Kelly works back to him, makes a great catch, catches the ball with his hands, kids, not with his body. Fights ahead now for 22 yards to the Texas 23. Now you're thinking we can at least get a field goal. They take a timeout, which I thought was great for us. And I think we kind of caught them in a personnel grouping where they were not happy. So they call a timeout, reset the defense. We try to swing it out to Davin Booth here, and it's checked down. The best case scenario here is this pass is incomplete because if he gets tackled in bounds, it's going to eat up a lot of time. With 21 seconds to go, we get it across the middle to Seydou, and again, a very determined run. Just kind of bounces off some guys, fights inside the Texas 10. On top of that, it's a roughing the passer penalty, which makes it half the distance to the goal. Now it's first and goal from the four with 14 seconds to go. And what do you know? We get it to Mario Craver. Four to touchdown. Extra point is good. Really, really felt good. At this point now I'm thinking, man, if we can somehow just get a stop. Robbie Falk and I spoke about that at halftime. He said, you know, I've kind of convinced myself we're going to get a stop and find a way to get the lead. And I was kind of thinking the same way. He's like, I'm doing it to myself. I said, I feel the same way. All right, A&M gets the ball back. And they just kind of run out the half here. But it's 21-17. Our crowd was really into the ball game. And give the fans credit and give our team credit for making some cool things happen here. And you needed to get a stop here. You really needed to get a stop. They start out, and I told Mike Nemeth, they're going to come out running the football. They're going to get back to what they do because all of a sudden they wake up at halftime in a fight in Starkville, Mississippi, in a place they have not been very successful over the years. They're going to go back to their bread and butter. They go to Moss off the right side for four. Then it's complete to Jabbar Barber again for 5 yards. Guys, guess what? It's third and short again. And then Connor Wagman runs ahead for 2 yards there. Basically, the quarterback sneak moves the chains. And again, another third down where we can't get off the field. I mean, that was the story of the game. Third down efficiency favored Texas A&M. Connor Wegman then runs off the right side for 9. I joked about that in my notes, man. It looked like a wobbly deer running out there. I mean, you think to yourself, man, is he just going to fall and hurt himself? All right, second and 1 here. They run off left side with Moss for 4. Then it's incomplete. Wegman then complete to Cyrus Allen for 12, moves the chains, first down. Barber off the left for 5. They go back to Daniels for nothing. So here we are again, third down, third and 5. And it's a run off the left side. It's not a pass this time. It's a run. And we can't make a tackle here. Amari Daniels for 11 moves the chains. I'm not going to beat that horse to death because you hear it. It's third down efficiency again. Wegman then complete to Jedi Walker for 18 yards. And then there's OPI. It was an easy, easy call. Backs it up. And hey, it's 15 yards here. This is big, right? This is a huge penalty. They give it to Moss for just 2. Then it's incomplete to Moss. Corey Allenton with a nice play there. Should have picked it off. Might have scored. Might have scored. Wegman then complete to Trey Watson. 26 yards. And this is one of those things. It was just absolutely unbelievable that they convert here. Guys, it's 3rd and 24. And somehow they convert. These are the plays that get you beat. We can talk all we want to about rankings and about recruiting and about execution. When it's 3rd and 24, you got to get off the field. There's no excuse for this. And we had an opportunity to make a tackle and we don't. First down, again. Wegman then incomplete to Trey Watson. Nice play by Storm Blanton. They call a timeout here. Amari Daniels then runs off left side, and Paca and Brandon Jennings team up here for a big tackle. Incomplete to Cyrus Allen, Brandon Jennings in Wegman's face there. They end up having a kicked field goal. So, you know, here we finally get off the field on third down. Had an opportunity, of course, to get off a couple times on that drive. We dropped a couple of picks. We had a chance on 3rd and 24, and we still give up points. But it's now a one-score game at 24-17. If you're feeling like I'm feeling, I'm thinking, you know what, if we go down here and tie this thing at home, the cowbells get to clanging a little bit, a little doubt gets going here for A&M. Got a chance to win this ball game. We're in the game midway through the third with the football and a chance to tie. And we get a delay of the game, which is inexcusable. Inexcusable. I don't know if it's on the bench for not getting the play in quicker or if Mike just lost track of things. You got a freshman quarterback out there, but how could we not know on first down? We know we're going to fair catch it, right? You mean to tell me they showed such an exotic look that we had to change the play late in the play clock? I mean, this is inexcusable, man. Now instead of being first and 10, it's first and 15, and then Booth gets hit for a huge loss. Shamar Turner makes a great play there. Now it's 2nd and 17, and then Van Buren is sacked for a 3-yard loss. However, we get bailed out here because there is holding in the secondary. So we get 10 yards on a first down, despite the fact that we had 3 consecutive negative snaps. I guess one of them is not technically a snap, but we had 3 consecutive negative plays, and we end up getting a first down. We go back to Booth for 2, then we're incomplete to Coleman. PBU there by Cassius Howell makes it a 3rd down play. We try to get it to Craver out left, and then Damian Sanford breaks it up. We decide to go for it here, and on the fake punt. Now, I understand what Jeff Lebby said. He's like, hey, we saw something on film. We liked the look. We knew at some point we were going to do it, but I'm going to tell you, this was not the time to do it. It is a one-score game. And this drive has been discombobulated from the start. And so I disagree with the coach's decision here. I love Jeff Lebby. I think we're headed in the right direction. This was a mistake. an absolute mistake. And they say, hey, we got the look we wanted, so we ran the fake to Xavier Gayton, and it's a two-yard gain. We actually got called for holding, too, so even if we execute the play, it's coming back, which may have been a good thing, because then we could have punted, right? But pretty incredible here. Again, this was a bad decision, and I said it then. You all said it, too. It's not like I'm breaking any news here. And in many respects, this changed the complexity of this ballgame. And give the A&M defense a lot of credit, too, because, hey, they realized, too, this is a one-score game. We got to go out here and get a stop. Well, we turn it over, give them the short end of the field. You know, we had the pick that gave them the short side of the field, and then here we do. We kind of aid in their own demise here with this fake punt. They take over 5:23. It's complete to Noah Thomas, 17 yards for first down. Amari Daniels at the middle for six. Then Wegman off the right side for three. Brings up a third down. Guess what that means, guys? Well, they run for no yards, and then we're flagged. We're flagged for 12 men on the field. Inexcusable, guys. So we finally make a play. Maybe that's why we made the play, because we had 12 on the field. And Dave Murray called it immediately. He said, we got 12 on the field. We got 12 on the field. And lo and behold, they snap it, and back judge throws a flag. And so, again, we're thinking, hey, maybe we could hold them to a field goal. Instead, we don't. Gives them first and goal from the state three. They give it to Moss, who's in the end zone. Extra point is good. Kickoff's touchback, and now it's a two-score game, 31-17. The game is getting away from us. And, again, in many respects, the game turned on that decision. Again, I go back to that fourth down play, too, when we threw the pick to Scooby. You know, if you punt there, make them drive the length of the field, because the defense has been playing pretty good on early downs. You never know what could happen, because you had the pick. Right? You never know. I think sometimes that's what happens. You look up and you're like, man, we're in the ball game. We need to find a way to make a play. Let's go do something. Let's go be aggressive here. And sometimes the discretion is a better part of valor. All right, State takes over here at our 25. Van Buren is complete to Craver for three. We come back and it's complete to Akari for nine. That moves the chains. Try to get out to Johnny Daniels. The ball is incomplete. We give it to Daniels. Makes a five-yard gain here. Makes it third and five. And then Van Buren finds Kevin Coleman for 5 yards. And I thought we got a bad spot here. I thought he had it by a yard or more. But they mark it right at the stick. It's a first down, though. Incomplete to Braylon Burnside across the middle. And then, of course, he had taken Craver's spot. There is no update on Craver's condition. We won't know until Wednesday. Incomplete to Seydou Traore, PBU there. And then we take a shot to Kelly Akari, Rylan Kennedy in Van Buren's face. So it's a punt. And so, again, you're giving the ball back now, and it really felt like this thing is getting away. However, defense decides, you know what, we're going to step up and try to do our part here. On first down, it's complete to Cyrus Allen. That runs out the third quarter. So Texas at their 11, now at the 15 as we get ready for closing time in Starkville. Headed to the fourth. And again, down two scores. And it just kind of felt, again, it's such a familiar place for us. You know, it's one of those crazy things. It's like there is that one quarter that always seems to allow teams to get separation from us. And we are constantly chasing the game. That's just kind of how it feels. All right, we get a short side of the field here. It's a good thing the defense didn't give up like we did. Wegman picked off by Zachary Tillman, who is a rising star at Mississippi State. Had the big game against Texas, made a couple plays against Georgia. This is one of the biggest plays that he's made so far in his collegiate career. Stone Blanton in the face of Wegman, we pick it. You know, again, we had two picks in this ball game. Had the opportunity for at least two others, maybe a third. But now we're the ones with a short field. All right, we set up and get ready to go here. It's a 12-yard line. Booth off the right side for two. And I go back to what Nemo always says. Jackie Sherrill says you got to be able to run it in tight. Booth then up the middle for a two-yard loss, makes it third and 10. One of the better passes Michael Van Buren has ever thrown. We have Kevin Coleman flex to the backfield, get him paired up with a linebacker. Of course, there's no way that that's going to work out for them. And what a dime from Michael Van Buren. Kevin Coleman catches it. Extra point is good. And then, lo and behold, they decide to run this thing out. They filled it at the A&M 2. And then Jordan Morant gets down there and just blows up Dalton Brooks inside the 20. And you feel like, you know what, hey, this might happen for us. You just got to get a stop defensively. And again, defense been beat up a lot too, but I thought the defense did some good things. Obviously, early on, getting off the field on third down wasn't one of them. In the second half, we started doing a little bit better job on third down. And this is one of those examples. All right. They give it to Moss off the right side for 4, out to the Texas 22. And then Moss runs up the middle for 38. However, they're flagged for holding, and you can't do that. There's a good chance the hold led to the big gash play there. That's people always say, well, if it hadn't been for that flag, well, if it hadn't been for the penalty that created the flag, you probably don't get 38 yards. So now they're behind the chains here. They give it to Daniels off the right side for 3. And now they're kind of just trying to manage things. And here it is, a third and long situation. And we're playing cloud, so they have to throw it underneath. You just got to go make a tackle, and we do. Brennan Jennings, Diego Brumfield, both there, hold them to just a 5-yard gain. Finally making a punt, right? We heard Kevin Coleman say, if I get some room, I'm going to return it. It's a 43-yarder. Man, I would love for him to hit a 50-yarder there and give Coleman a chance to return it. But now here we are with the football in the fourth quarter, down a touchdown, and you guys are hanging on the edge of your seat. You're thinking, here we go. Van Buren is incomplete to Jordan Mosley. They flag us for ineligible downfield. Cannon Boone starting to get a little more playing time. He was the one flagged for the infractions. So, again, here we are. Very important drive. We're behind the chains. We go to Daniels, who gets 1. Back to Daniels for 6. It's a big third down play. We try to get it to Kevin Coleman, who's becoming our guy, and it's broken up by Shamar Turner. We end up having a punt. And then on top of that, Xavier Gaydon is flagged for catch interference. I thought it was a little ticky-tack call, but probably within the spirit of the rule. That gives them 15 yards. And, you know, give Texas A&M a lot of credit here. A lot of credit. They get the opportunity to kind of make this thing a 2-score game, kind of get some breathing room. They give it to Moss up the middle for 6. And you got to begin to wonder, too, I mean, how comfortable are they going to be passing the football? Well, they answer that pretty quick. They get it out to Jahde Walker for 16 yards on a first down. Approaching midfield now. They get it to Le'Veon Moss now for 11 more. And it really felt like this is the drive it was going to do us in. They go to Moss for off the left side for 5, and it's incomplete. So third down play here, and we get off the field. They run off the left side for 3. Ellington with the tackle there, and then they got to kick a field goal. And they do. 44 yards. It's good. Now it's a 2-possession game with just 6 minutes to go. And again, despite our best efforts here, you know, it really felt like defensively that A&M kind of took over in the second half. I think we ended up with 35, 36 yards of offense up until that final drive. I think that's right. But Van Buren incomplete. A PBU there. We give it to Booth, who gets 17 yards. Really big gain there. Now you start thinking, okay, we just got to get any score. Anything. Field goal, touchdown, anything. You got to get anything. We get it out to Kevin Coleman. He's stacked up behind the line for a 3-yard loss. Van Buren then complete to Trey Orr for 11 yards right at midfield. We give it to Booth, who gets 1 on fourth down. We got to go. And Booth is stacked up for no, I didn't like the play call. We turn it over on downs. It's tough. But again, give the defense credit here. Defense had every chance to fold late, but they didn't. Another good possession here. Their flag for unsportsmanlike conduct on a dead ball foul. Some of the crowd thought it was going to allow us to keep the football, but it was after the play. They gave it to Moss up the middle for 4. We call timeout. Back to Moss for 5, brings up a 3rd and 1, and the Bulldogs make a stop here. 3 and out. Forces the punt. Coleman has a fair catch at the 15. Still got time here. And again, you got to get any score whatsoever. Any score. All right, we get it out to Johnny Daniels. 3-yard loss. Complete to Coleman for 12, which brings up a 3rd and manageable play here, but it's incomplete to Mosley. We run the football with Johnny Daniels, 2 hard yards inside to move the chains. On first down, we're incomplete to Jordan Mosley. And it's crazy how Cassius Howell was everywhere. He was. We take a shot to Sadu. Cassius Howell's there with the PBU. Third down, we're complete to Kevin Coleman for 11 yards. Move the chains. Take a shot to Kelly Akari. It's incomplete. And I say a shot. It really wasn't competitive here. Mike takes a shot. Akari cuts the route off. There was not much chance of being completed here. All right, second and 10. We get it out to Booth. Texas flagged for holding the secondary again. And you think, okay, maybe we can get this this field goal here. Instead, we're incomplete, and then Kevin Coleman gets tied up with a DB over near the state sideline, rips his helmet off. They both are kind of pushing and shoving, but Coleman is the one that is flagged for the infraction. Behind the chains. Then Van Buren sacked for a loss. Shamar Turner on the play. Michael Van Buren fumbles the football. Cannon Boone on top of it. Then we get it out to Sadu for 12 yards. Kind of makes it a little bit manageable here. We take a shot to Jaden Wiley. Can't complete it. And then ultimately turn it over on downs again. And that's it. That's your ball game. Texas A&M kneels one time. That's your game. I'm not a moral victories guy. And I'm tired of just talking about, hey, we're getting better and playing it close. We got to win some games. I know you all feel the same way. I'm not going to sit here and talk poorly of our team. I think we played well at times. I think we made some bad decisions. And, again, you go back and look at the I think the decision not to punt that led to an interception that gave them the short field was significant. I think the fake punt was an extremely poor decision, gave them the field. And, listen, I get it. You look up and you think, man, we just need somebody to make a play. And then we're running a fake punt to a freshman. And it didn't go well. It didn't go well. So that's your ball game. 34-24. State's now lost six games in a row. Let's look at some individual numbers here. Connor Wegman, 15-25. 217 yards, one touchdown, and two interceptions. He did really well early in that ball game. But we never sacked him again. We did harass him some, and we did force him to make some throws before he was ready. I think one of those led to a pick. So there was some pressure there, even though we didn't ultimately get to him and dump him on the ground. I think we negatively impacted Connor Wegman a lot, but not enough. And again, 15-25 for just over 200 yards. Not a great stat line. Michael Van Buren was 22 of 41 for 242 yards, three touchdowns, and a pick. He was sacked three times and, of course, on a very crucial drive back-to-back times. Le'Veon Moss, we knew what a great back he was. The numbers sometimes maybe don't match the expectation. 17 attempts for just 65 yards. Longest run of the day for him was 9. Amari Daniels, 12 carries, 47 yards. And then Connor Wegman, 3 for 14. We held him to 136 yards, and this is a team that wants to run the football. We knew there'd be a little more balance with Connor Wegman out there because he's more of a passing threat than Marcel Reed is. And again, you look at the numbers, you think, man, we're right there with him. Well, that's what happens. When you're right there with him, it boils down to management of the game. And we made some boneheaded decisions and some mistakes that ultimately led to them kind of getting some separation in the game. Devin Booth for State, 12 carries for 79 yards. Johnny Daniels, 13 of 50. Michael Van Buren, 9 for a negative 1 when it's all said and done when you factor in the sacks. But, not great. Not a great rushing game, but 125 yards. They outrushed us by 11. And really nobody's been able to successfully run the football against them. We did well early, but in the second half they really shut down the run. Leading receiver for A&M was Jabri Barber, 6 of 92. Leading receiver for State, again, Kevin Coleman, 8 for 89 yards and the touchdown. And again, what a teardrop of a dime that proved to be. Kelly Akari, 3 for 45. Mario Craver, 5 for 42 and a touchdown. And again, we don't know his status. But Bulldog offense, right there with them. When you begin to work through this stuff, you think, look at the offensive numbers. We outpassed them. And we were right there with them on a rushing standpoint. So the numbers were the numbers. Again, it boils down to game management. Defensively here, I don't care what they did. Isaac Smith with 12 tackles. And it's so interesting, too. A lot of people say, well, hey, you don't want a safety to lead you in tackles. Well, he's really kind of a box safety. He's really playing basically a linebacker. You know, it's not like he's playing over the top and making these tackles 20 yards down the field. And so I think that's just something people say that they think makes sense. But, again, Isaac Smith not playing, like, over the top a whole lot. Nick Mitchell, 10 tackles for him. Good game for him. And I'll be honest with you, I thought Nick was going to be a career special teams guy. He is beginning to play a little bit better. Blanton with 9 tackles. Brandon Jennings with 8. Well, we really got something with Brandon Jennings. We really do. Also had a half a TFL. Paca with the other half of that. And Hunter Washington with 7 tackles. Thought he had a pretty good ball game too. A&M punts twice. We punt 3 times. We should have punted 4. Maybe even 5. If we do it the Steve Robertson way. But, 40.7 for us and 42.5 for them. But, it kind of is what it is. And, again, you look at this, you know, we played them, but a top 15 team right down to the wire. And ultimately, I think it falls on us rather than them. Now, you look at it and say, wait, they made plays to win the game. I think we made some plays to lose the game. And that can be fixed. That can be fixed. Now, if I asked you before this ball game, who is the more talented team, you'd say A&M by a long ways. But I don't think talent was the difference in this ball game. I don't. You may disagree. I think we were just as talented as them, but we made some mistakes that ultimately lead to you getting beat. That proved to be the difference in the ball game. And so that's how I see it. You may see it differently. I am pleased with the progress, but I can't sit back and say, well, you know, this guy didn't do this. There's some mistakes to go around on everybody, on offense, on defense, the offensive line, secondary, the coaching staff, everybody involved. Everybody could have done a little bit better job, and that could have been a difference in winning and losing. So, again, I can be pleased with the effort and not pleased with the result, and I'm not. I think State could have and likely should have won this ball game, but give A&M a lot of credit. I thought they bullied us a little bit. At the line of scrimmage, I know many of you probably agree with that. You know, looking at the team stats real quickly for defense here. You know, they had 17 first downs, we had 22, and they only ran for 4 of them. And a lot of that's because we played well on first and second down, didn't give them a lot of opportunities to get in third and short, didn't stop them from converting. But that's the reality of it. Again, they outrushed us by 11 yards. If I told you before the ball game that was going to be the case, you'd say, Steve, I'll take it. And, of course, we outpassed them by 25. So total offense, we had 367 to their 353. We actually had more plays than they did, again, because we gave them the short end of the field. Now, there was one time we got it, too, on the big Zachary Tillman interception there. But you know, you start working through these TFLs, man. There were times they lived in our backfield, absolutely lived in our backfield. And that's got to get better. Now, I don't know if we're going to see a front as good as that one the rest of the year. It's the best front that we faced so far. And A&M may prove to have a better year than I think we anticipated, certainly me. But you look up and they're 6-1. You say, hey, congratulations to the Aggies, but you know, again, I don't think that they're leaps and bounds better than us. Granted, we played the game at home, but I think you're seeing the Bulldogs improve, but we need to see that improvement ultimately end with some wins beginning this week. All right, time for today's top 10 list is always brought to you by closewithblair.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Blair's phone number, 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Guys, get 23 years of mortgage know-how working for you. Whether you're looking for a game day condo, which may prove to be more affordable than you think, could be your future retirement home. You want to come up here and have a place in Starkville anyway. We'd love to have you come be a Stark villain with us. In addition to that, too, maybe it's your first home. Maybe life is throwing you a curveball. You got to look for a reset in your life. One less thing to worry about. One less thing to worry about. Let Blair Chandler take care of this for you. Visit his website, closetheblair.com, for more details. And get that pre-qualification letter, folks. That's one of those hacks in life they don't tell you about, but I'm telling you now. You want to see a motivated real estate agent, get that pre-qualification letter, and you'll be looking at homes within your means and affordability range soon. You don't want to get in a home that's above your means. Doesn't matter how nice your home is when you're having to work overtime to pay for it, right? Again, that's Blair Chandler at closeatblair.com. Okay, Friday, when I'm doing my signing down at Bookmart Cafe, there was a song that hit the radio. When I go in there, they can't play 80s rock, but they do play some 70s rock for me. I like Christmas music as much as the next guy, but we're not going to listen to that in October. And there was a song that came on that I haven't heard in forever that I used to love as a kid, as a classic rock fan. And I was like, I remember this song. Who sang this? And then on the way home, I remembered, and I jammed them all day on Saturday and then on my trip down to Madison yesterday. And I came up with a top 10 list for you. We're talking about an American rock band from the 70s that I'm sure you've forgotten about, most of you. And then when I go through some of these songs, you're like, dude, I remember that. It's a band called Firefall out of Colorado. Had a string of hits. They toured with Fleetwood Mac. They toured with everybody at some point. And didn't have great management. They put some great tunes together. They reunited shortly after COVID. And put some new material out. Yeah, how about that? All these years later, they get the band back together and start performing these old classic tracks. So we're going to go, and there's going to be a lot of these songs you'd be like, when you listen to them, you'd be like, oh, I remember this. I didn't know who sang this, but I know the song. All right, number 10, a track called Runaway Love. I like to start with something a little bit up-tempo for you. Like this track a lot. Hope that you guys will enjoy that. Number 9, kind of an introspective track. It's Love That Got Away. And at some point, we've all sung that song in our hearts. Maybe not that one specifically, but there is that one that got away. And I'm one of those folks that I don't believe in looking back, right? That's one of the things I give my daughter, Audrey, a lot of credit. One of the attributes that she inherited from her dad that I'm grateful that she did. When she makes up her mind that she's done with somebody, she's done. I'm the same way. And there's only been a couple people in my life I've looked at that I've really kind of pursued for a second chance. Like, hey, I think we're making a mistake. You know what I'm saying. There's a few of those. But by and large, I was like, you know what? I'm done. Because one of those things that I've learned about life, it's so difficult. Like, when you do break up and you reach that realization that one person could let the other one go, it's never really the same. Because you can't shake that feeling. It's like, you know what? I love them with all that I have. We had this discussion or this dispute or disagreement, and they were willing to let me go. And a lot of that's based in ego. And so even when you get back together, because you know how it is. I mean, you say so many things you don't mean. And it's tough to walk away from that. It really is. Maturity will kind of teach you at times it's the best thing to do, though. Number 8, So Long. There we go. Great segue, right? Yeah. It's so easy to say that sometimes, too. And sometimes, too, I've learned, too, a lot of people will terminate a relationship not because the relationship is going poorly, but sometimes because it's going well and it gets them out of their comfort zone, right? I was that way too. Like, Danny used to say that to me too. I always feel like you're always trying to beat me to the punch. Like, we'd be dating. And I would, like, the longest I'd ever dated anybody before her in a committed relationship was about 3 months. I couldn't do it, man. It's like, something better I thought would come along. Because a lot of times I was with people for the wrong reasons. You know, I'd be with them because I don't want to be alone. And there's a difference between being alone and being lonely, right? I've been lonely and I have been alone. And actually some of the best times in my life is when I have been alone. But I've never had good days being lonely. Which takes us to number 7, Living Ain't Living. And that's a song kind of about that. It's like, you know, living without you ain't really in living. But, you know, living for this and living for that really is living. And one of the things that I try to do in my life, and some people would say that I'm a workaholic, which is why I've you know, put in about 14 hours a day. But I'm an empty nester, and I'm just me and the dogs here most of the time. But I love life, and I love creating things and putting a smile on your faces, keeping you educated and informed. I love this stuff. And so every day that I get up, I'm already thinking about what I can write today and how much time I have to write it in. And the fact that I can go up there on Mondays and listen to our head football coach speak about our team and ask him questions about the direction of our team, that's a privilege, right? And it's a big part of my life, and I enjoy being your eyes and ears. Number six, staying with it. Everybody needs a little anthemic song sometimes about perseverance. I'm a firm believer in those tracks. You need positivity in your life. If all you do is sit around listening to sad love songs, you begin to kind of ruminate in your own problems. If you don't know what rumination is, let me encourage you to check it out, because many of you are guilty of that. It is easy to find something to feel sorry about in your life. If you want to feel sorry for yourself, the ammunition is plentiful. And there are a lot of people that are beaten down by life because they pulled it down on top of themselves. There are some things in life that are very difficult to deal with, but life goes on. And some people go through the rest of their lives being fractured or injured and never fully whole. And that's tragic. But some of this sometimes is just living life on life's terms. And we've got to understand that. So you've got to stick with it. Number five, headed for a fall. Pride will do it to you, man. It's true, whether it be relationships or whether it be business stuff. And I talk about that all the time. Some of the guys that I work with, they're always like, you know, Steve, it's sometimes you're like a machine. It's like you never stop. I don't know how long all this is going to last. I'm trying to prolong that as long as I can. Not ever going to be satisfied. It's one of the things that I heard a long time ago is never arrive. Never feel like you're there. Always be pushing for the next level. I'm the firm believer the only thing better than $25,000 is 50, right? I believe that you have to keep pushing. Number four, great track here, man. And I love the pick work on this. It is great. The intro to this song is one of those songs you hear it and you're like, man, that is a super cool, intricate guitar part on this. And it's Cinderella. Big hit for them too. Maybe you're not quite as familiar with that one. It's a little bit deeper in the catalog, but it's one I think you'll enjoy. I think you're going to have fun with that one. All right, now we're down to the top three. And I think that everybody will agree that knows this band, and once you listen to this list, you'll agree these are the top three Firefall tracks. And you say, Steve, why is the band called Firefall? Well, they were at Yosemite, and there's at the Yosemite Fall, they light logs and let them roll off the waterfall. And so it's fire falling. That's where it came from. But number three, beautiful love song. And they have a little flute work in some of their tracks, and it really stands out in this one. It's You Are the Woman That I've Always Dreamed Of. I knew it from the start. You know this song, you've heard it a million times, maybe you didn't know who sang it. Now you do. Number two, a great track, and it's one of those reassuring songs in a relationship. I'm a person too, like I'm a firm believer in Steve Robertson. I don't ever like doubt myself, but there are times, you know, like when the world is kind of beating down on me, you know, sometimes I just need Dana to offer me a little reassurance, you know. It's how I feel. But I'm not just a consumer. You know, I got to be a contributor to this relationship too. And, you know, listen, you know, we got a new business open, as you guys know. And sometimes we don't get to spend a lot of time together. And a lot of times I go up there and eat lunch with her just so I can see her, you know, during the daytime. That's part of it. But one of the things that I've learned is just, you know, words of affirmation are big for me. I'm a words of affirmation person. But I believe in the love languages, and I try to use all of them. But this track is really about that sort of thing. It's just remember I love you, and it'll be all right, right? That's a thing that I remember when we first started talking about doing this business, man. And Dennis said, I'd rather live with you in a tent than be alone in a mansion. And that's exactly how I feel too. But you got to be willing to bet on yourself. But there are some days when things are not as you'd want them to be. And you got to get back to what really matters. You got to get back to your core belief, what your life is built around. So just remember, I love you. Things will be okay. Come what may. But number one, and this is the song that sparked the top 10 list. Man, I love this track. And I shared this with Dana earlier. I said, do you remember the 70s rock band Firefall? And she said, no. And I sent her a couple of these tracks. She goes, oh, I remember them. This is one of those songs that I love it. It's up-tempo. It's rock. I wish that somebody would have covered it and made it a little more rocky. And yeah, maybe we'll do that, right? Maybe we should do it. Maybe we should get together and cover this song because it is a great track. And it's Strange Way. It's a strange way to tell me you love me. Great, great song. And, you know, Your Sorrow Is All I See. It's one of the, it's about manipulation and gaslighting and all that sort of stuff. And it's like the other side of it. It's like, hey, you know, these are the things you do. You create all this drama in my life, you know, to kind of get me to pursue you or whatever. I mean, it's just, it's a strange way to go through a relationship. Great, great song. I think you're going to have a lot of fun with this list, especially that top three. And for many of you, maybe this is your first introduction to the band Firefall. I think you're going to really enjoy these guys. They're a little bit like Kansas, like a poor man's Kansas. Doesn't have the same vocal range as Steve, but man, I tell you, like a lot of the instrumentation on this thing is a lot like Kansas. So if you like Kansas, and you should, they're a little more rocking too. I think you're going to dig Firefall. And again, this is a band that if they had had better management, they probably would be a household name. But I can promise you, in the mid to late 70s, they were on rock radio regularly. And again, they had some songs too that kind of crossed over to top 40. Some people kind of consider them a bit of a country rock band. So they're a southern rock band from Colorado. But they don't have that same grit, you know, like Mountain or even Skynyrd, Blackfoot. They're not like them. But I think you'll dig them. And again, it's I love to rediscover bands that have written songs that I really like, and this is one of them. So I hope you enjoy our top 10 list of Firefall. I'm sure Roy will text me and say, I don't remember these guys. And then he'll go listen to some of these tracks and be like, oh, yeah, I do remember this. Kind of the soundtrack of our lives for us, that us Gen Xers, right? Kind of those B-sides that maybe you're like, oh, I know this song, but I don't know who sings it. There's so much of that out there because that was how FM radio was. A lot of times we didn't know. Sometimes the DJ wouldn't introduce a song. We couldn't just dial it up and look for it. We didn't have the internet back then. So we would bug the DJ to death. We'd call him, hey, what was that song you just played? I don't remember. It's true. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy on Twitter or X, whatever we're calling it these days, at Dogmatic67. That's DawgMatic67. That's his birth year. He is older than me, much, much older than me. And when you see us together, he really looks older than me. No, I'm kidding. Roy's my friend. I love Roy and Missy. Got a chance to see them this weekend. They came and got some books, man. I appreciate them stopping by. Roy's a big part of our show, and appreciate him putting our list on Spotify. You can find our great list on Spotify under the same handle, Dogmatic67. Let me encourage you to just subscribe, and that way those lists will populate for you, because so many times you're out riding around, and you listen to the same tired playlist over and over again, and it's kind of become mundane. Let me help you a little bit with that. And Mama Sidearm, Mama Armslot, Miss Shulke has shared with me before. She said, I love the top 10 list because there's so many of these songs that I've forgotten. And she said, there's new bands I've been turned on to as well. And that's a cool thing. We love to be able to celebrate music with you here on the Boneyard. On a show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, I love Campus Bookmart. I love going in there and looking around. I'll be in there tomorrow, too. I got to go sign some books. They have the dude there. So when you're going online and shopping for some apparel, just go ahead and add the dude to your shopping cart, and you can have that delivered right along with your Mississippi State merch. Because if you're looking for Mississippi State merchandise, look no further than Campus Bookmart. Don't go on Amazon or eBay, because you're going to order a Mississippi State shirt, it's going to show up crimson, right? Deal with people that know what real maroon looks like. Because the folks that run Campus Bookmart and people that work there, they're bulldogs. They know what's important to you. They're going to outfit that place with items and apparel that they would want to wear and have in their own homes. And so it's a Starkville business. I believe in always shopping local. And if you can't make it to town, we encourage you to support a Starkville business anyway. You can visit them online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a Loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. And the books, they're going to have, again, I'm going to sign stock tomorrow, so you'll be able to buy signed books from Campus Bookmart. I believe I'm going to be there the Saturday before the game. I'm not exactly sure what time that's going to open. I'll update you on Wednesday. And so if you're looking to shop at Campus Bookmart this weekend, good chance you'll see me there. But we'll double check with them, finalize those details. I'll have more signings to share soon with you. But man, Campus Bookmart, they understand what you need for everything when it comes to your fandom. So be sure and frequent them when you have that opportunity. All right, let's take a look back at the weekend that was, man. Pretty crazy. Again, it's been a wild year. We talked about it at the beginning of the year, and it wasn't really a hot take. It's just there's a lot of parity in the league this year. Okay, so Georgia's at Texas, and I will admit, I thought Texas was going to win this game by a couple of scores. They did not. They did not. It's pretty crazy when it's all said and done. Guys, Georgia punches Texas in the mouth and then dared them to get up off the floor. Georgia ultimately wins 30-15. Texas and Quinn Ewers had plenty of opportunities to kind of work their way back into this thing. You had this debacle, this shameless debacle, where the Texas fans threw all this stuff on the field, and they were fined, and they should have been fined, and now they have been ordered to use video surveillance to identify people that threw things, and that they are supposed to be vacated, their tickets vacated the rest of the year, not just for football, but all the way through the spring sports. So any Texas sporting event, if you were throwing things, and you're lucky, that's where it ends. You truly are. There could be criminal charges involved, not to mention the safety aspect of all this thing. I mean, it's just, it's nuts. This can't happen. We've already got one Ole Miss in the conference that throws things when things don't go their way. They throw the temper tantrum. We don't need a second one. But how about Georgia? Going into Austin, after having, kind of a shaky week last week against Mississippi State, and they go in there and beat the number one team in the country. Alabama at Tennessee. I felt good about Tennessee the whole way through, but I'll tell you, this Tennessee offense is not playing well. And I give you another sign of that is Alabama defensively has not been good in recent weeks, and Tennessee gets 24. And, of course, Tennessee with the big pick late of Jalen Milroe, who threw for 239 yards in the game. Dylan Sampson for Tennessee runs for 139 yards, and that's going to be the challenge when we go up there, is kind of slowing down that running game, because they have not been nearly as good through the air as they were earlier in the year, as our friends at Arkansas showed. But Tennessee wins, and there were a lot of people within my own group that told me, nah, Steve, Alabama's going to bounce back. I've said it for 3 weeks now. We can't trust Alabama. And when have we been able to say that with conviction? It's been forever. You can't trust this Alabama team. And there are already people over there on the Alabama boards that are calling for a change. Some are even blaming Nick Saban. He left this situation for us to deal with. I got news for you. Nick Saban's not worried about you. LSU goes to Arkansas. This is kind of the game that I expected. You know, we talked about sometimes Arkansas makes it a weird game, and I said on Friday's show, at some point LSU is going to stretch your legs a little bit. They do in this ball game. Guys, Arkansas ran for 38 yards in this game. 38 yards. That's it. They're a running team. Now, Sam Pittman said today they thought they could make some plays in the passing game. They did some, 240 yards passing. They also had the big pick. They had a fumble. They had some big, big turnovers. Taylen Green is a one-read quarterback. When it's not there, he wants to run. He gets a little bit antsy, and, State's going to have to take advantage of that. You probably need to spy him. But LSU, again, you look up, nobody was talking about LSU. And now LSU in a great position to make the FBS playoff. Incredible job by Brian Kelly. I know a lot of people don't really like him, and they say he's a weird fit in the SEC. Guys, they lose that game to begin of the year to USC 27-20. They have won six in a row. Now, you knew they'd blow out Nichols, but they escaped from South Carolina with a dub, a game they probably should have lost. They smashed UCLA. They smashed South Alabama. They beat Ole Miss in the overtime game. And then, you know, hey, good job by the coaching staff at LSU, because you begin to think about that. Hey, this is a great sandwich game for Arkansas, because you have the big win at home, and then next week, this coming Saturday, you go to A&M. And there's Arkansas, an unranked Arkansas team that has played really good at home, kind of laying in the reeds. So give LSU a lot of credit for going there. And listen, it was a 16-10 ball game, and then LSU said, we're tired of playing with you. They put this thing away, 34-10, and they ran the ball right down Arkansas's throat. And Arkansas kind of prides itself on being really strong in the trenches. They were not in this ball game. But, again, you look at this LSU schedule, and you start thinking, you got the big game this weekend at A&M, and after we've seen A&M up in person, can they run the football against LSU? I don't know that they can. Connor Wegman's a guy, too, that gets a little bit loose and fast with the ball. The next week, Alabama's got to go down to Tiger Stadium, and they're going to be ready to devour them. Once LSU clears that, let's say LSU wins these next two, what's left for them? To the Swamp, host Vanderbilt, host Oklahoma. They will be favored in all three of those games. Very crucial two-game stretch coming up for LSU, who might end up being the number one seed in the playoff. Did you see that coming? You say, Steve, no. Let it play out. LSU absolutely can win out. They absolutely can win out. Of course, we've talked about A&M and Mississippi State. Auburn and Missouri, terrible, terrible result here. Brady Cook gets knocked out of the game for a little while in this ball game, and Auburn pulls away. They're up a couple scores. Brady Cook comes back and says, I'm going to lead my team back, and they do. And I don't know how good this Missouri team is. Auburn's not good, and it all starts with the quarterback position. They've got some skilled position guys that can play a little bit. You know, Jarquez Hunter's a good player. Auburn is struggling. They're not really struggling on defense, though. They're struggling on offense, and that's probably the big surprise. Of course, they've got a top-five recruiting class again this year. They feel like that maybe next year will be the year. They're going to have to go out and find a quarterback somewhere to give Deuce Knight some time to kind of develop there. But a good win for Missouri. But you start looking at this Missouri team, and again, there's some flaws within this team. I think it's pretty safe to say. With Mizzou, and you start wondering about how this thing's going to play out for them. You know, they got off to a great start, 4-0, and then A&M absolutely crushed them. They bounce back and beat UMass. They escape with the dub, and how ironic is it? A couple years ago, Missouri believed to have scored the game-winning touchdown, only to have it reversed on review. Mizzou goes to Alabama this week. They host Oklahoma, then to South Carolina, and then at Mississippi State, and then home for Senior Day against Arkansas. So there are some games within this stretch here that could be very dicey for Mizzou. And they're a good team, not a great team. And I don't even know, by the time they get here, will we consider them a good team? I don't know. South Carolina's at Oklahoma. I was last week. And I told you guys on this show, I won't be surprised. Nothing about this game would surprise me. But I have to admit, Oklahoma's lack of offensive prowess is something to behold. They're certainly missing Jeff Lebby, and they got Seth Luttrell, and a lot of people wanted us to hire Seth as the offensive coordinator here. He was fired by Oklahoma today, and that's kind of a Brent Venables covering your behind quarters move. But 35-9, Brent, it's not just about the offense. And it's a South Carolina team. It's been very up and down. Again, I never know from one week to the next. They had a great game plan. They went in there and executed it. Jackson Arnold threw for 225 yards in the loss. But Oklahoma can't score. Ball State at Vanderbilt, much more entertaining game than I expected. And Vanderbilt's playing at home. But Vanderbilt picks up that fifth win. We knew they would. We also thought they would cover. I thought Vanderbilt would play a lot better offensively. against a Ball State team. It's just won one game this year, but ends up being a good ball game. Diego Pavia, 275 yards through the air and then 82 yards on the ground. So congratulations to Clark Lee and our friend Barton Simmons and the Vanderbilt Commodores. One win away now from being bowl eligible. And what an absolutely amazing milestone that would be after the first couple of years. I texted Barton the other day and said, congratulations. And he goes, man, it's taken a lot of pain to get to this point. So I'm really happy for my friend there. Kentucky at Florida went about how we expected. Kentucky is not good. Kentucky cannot score. And the more times Kentucky loses, the worse that loss looks for Ole Miss. To lose that game the way they did at home to a team that is very mediocre and getting worse by the day, especially a quarterback, it's brutal, man. Florida 48-20 in the ball game. I expected Florida to win. I didn't think they would boat race them the way they did. Kentucky now 3-4. And you start looking like, what does this mean? Well, they host Auburn this week. It'll be an interesting game. Somebody's got to win. Then they go to Tennessee. They host Murray State. Then it's at Texas. And then they host Louisville in the rivalry game. Louisville's playing pretty well. Should have beat Miami over the weekend. But you start thinking, will they get to 6-6? You're 3-4 right now. This weekend may be the game that determines that, right? Guys, you only got five games left, and you got to win three of them. Well, you'll beat Murray State, so you got to pick up two somewhere else. They're not beating Tennessee, they're not beating Texas. So you got to beat Auburn, you got to beat Louisville to get to the postseason. So it is a very dicey proposition. And of course, like I've said for years, Kentucky and Mark Stoops kind of hid over there in the lesser division of the SEC East and had a chance to kind of pick up some wins against South Carolina teams that weren't good, Vanderbilt teams that were terrible, and kind of pick off some games at times, you know, with Tennessee when they were down and sometimes even Florida. But now you got to play everybody else. The schedule has been, the playing field's kind of been leveled a little bit. So it's not great if you're Kentucky. The Mark Stoops heyday is over. And they're in a bad spot because they signed a big, big contract last year to keep him there. So I'm here for it. All right, looking quickly, kind of looking ahead, and again, we'll talk about these later in the week. Oklahoma is at Ole Miss. Ole Miss comes in off an open date. The Rebels favored by 20.5 in that ball game. Arkansas comes to Mississippi State. The line now at 7. At one point I saw earlier today, it was up to around 8, 8.5. That line has come down. And that's because of RB1 Jackson not going to play this weekend. Now, Sam Pittman didn't go that far. He said very questionable. Guys, my sources tell me he is not going to play. And I think some things, too, they talk about they've sat Braylon Russell down today and said, hey, you're going to have more opportunities this week. If Jackson was going to play, no need to have that conversation. So, again, Arkansas by 7. And, again, that line has come down. And it'll be interesting to kind of see how things play out here. The line was at 7.5 earlier today, and it's now down to 7. Missouri is at Alabama. The Tide favored by 13.5. Can you trust Alabama? This is a top 25 matchup against a Missouri team that didn't score much last week but found a way to win. Can you trust Alabama? Texas is at Vanderbilt. Texas favored by 18.5. Will Texas come out angry and with some vengeance this week? There's some rumors out there that Quinn Ewers may drop out. I just can't see that, though, against number 25 Vanderbilt. A top 25 matchup in Nashville. Did you expect that? No, you didn't. LSU is at A&M. Maybe the best game of the weekend, guys. Maybe the best game of the weekend. Like what LSU's doing, and they suddenly they found their defensive prowess, and the physicality within that group now is getting really, really good. Guys, they are really getting to the quarterback at very opportune times. They did it against Ole Miss and did it last week against Arkansas. And it's not like Jackson Dart and Torian Green are sitting ducks back there. Those are athletes. Auburn and Kentucky. Kentucky favored at home by 2.5. It's not going to be much of a game, and it's so hard to watch a game at Kroger Field, especially when we're not playing. But that's your look ahead. And, again, we'll preview those games on Friday. But, again, could be another wild week. I think it might be a little more straightforward. You know, I think – I don't know there's going to be a ton of upsets, but, you know, we say that every week. You never know. But that's the weekend it was. Final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Man, I love the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. I'm making some plans to stay there now. Going to bring the family in. We're going to have a chance to kind of sit and visit. And, you know, it's a staycation for us, right? We live in Starkville, but not all the family does. But we got a big house out in the country. We also got a big family. And that family is growing. So we're going to have an opportunity to get everybody together. And we'll cook. And we'll play games. And we'll visit. And we'll have a great time. And it's going to be a great time together to congregate with the people that I love. So we're, in the middle of making those plans. You should consider that, too. The holidays are coming up. Kids are going to be out of school. And before Christmas, you know how it is. I mean, there's so much to do. And sometimes you just need a break. And maybe when you have Mimi's Christmas, you know, maybe instead of everybody kind of crowding into her house, and then instead, you know, it's a day trip, right? There's not enough room for everybody to stay. Maybe think about doing it in Starkville. Get everybody together in a big house. She would love that. She'd love to be able to cook in that big full-service kitchen and make cinnamon rolls and maybe some Christmas candies and things like that. And you guys can have a great time together. Because you know what it is, man? It's so hectic sometimes. It's like, man, I got to get up and drive. And then we're only there for a few hours. And I got to drive back. And wouldn't it be nice to be able to stay and then kind of give her a big room to operate in and have all the grandkids together? Do that for her. I mean, honestly, it's not just for you. She's not going to be here forever. Dad's not going to be here forever. And we need to get together more. We all say that. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse provides you a great venue to do just that. 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. Maybe you can do it midweek or something. You know, when kids are out of school and there's a men's or women's basketball game, perhaps on back-to-back days, and everybody can be together and then go cheer for the Bulldogs. How cool is that? It's great. Maybe you got a work group you bring into the Golden Triangle. Rather than go out and get five hotel rooms, how about five bedrooms and two baths at your convenience at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse at a fraction of the price? A great fire pit area outside. It's getting cold outside, too. You can sit around that fire pit and have some meaningful conversations. And also that wet bar if you want to have an adult beverage. Now, when you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, their Facebook page will auto-populate. And in addition to that, too, you're going to have some booking options. You can peruse through the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest. But on top of that, too, you can book through Airbnb, VRBO, totally up to you. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10 and get you 10% off your stay. How about that? That's super cool, right? Just by listening to this show, you're saving 10% off staying at the best place in the Golden Triangle to bring a large group to Starkville. And you know what? You could have the whole place to yourself. Maybe you just want to do you and a loved one, right? You just say, I just want to escape and have a big place. And, you know, we don't need all these bedrooms, but we just want to have some peace and quiet because it's about, you know, goodness, half a mile, three quarters of a mile off the road, neatly tucked away off Highway 82. And again, so conveniently located in Mississippi State, you can do all your tailgating right there. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Real quickly, too, as I mentioned earlier, you know, I had a chance to break down the Sam Pittman press conference. He said a lot of complimentary things about Mississippi State and said some things about our defense, and you can tell we're just kind of playing nice. But I think we have a chance to win this ball game. They're a lot like A&M philosophically, and I even asked Jeff Levy about that. Is there some carryover from this week to next? And it's really the first time this year we've been able to do that. A lot of carryover philosophically. There's some things they do execution-wise a little bit different because, you know, Green is more of a threat to run. He is more involved in the running game for Arkansas. And so that is a different element, you know. But the reality of this is this Razorback team, really now they're playing for the postseason. And Sam Pittman said as much, we still have a chance to make the postseason and we can still do that. I don't know that 6-6 is enough. There are a lot of people out there that says, oh, no, we're going to be patient, we're going to be patient, we're going to be patient. Guys, I think Arkansas is going to struggle to get to 6. And I think they have to win this week in order for it to happen. In order to get to 6 wins, they have to win this week. I think we're going to get their best effort. I think they will come out with their hair on fire trying to win this ball game because here's what's next for them. And listen, I get it. Ole Miss has not played well in Fayetteville, but Ole Miss is a better team than Arkansas. Next week, Ole Miss heads to Fayetteville. 2 weeks later, Texas heads to Fayetteville. Then Louisiana Tech, and then they got to go to Missouri. Arkansas has not played well in Missouri. And so when you begin to look through this, you say, yeah, well, maybe they could win the last two. This is not an Arkansas team, I think, that can get to seven wins without some help from somebody else. And so, again, you begin to think, okay, you know, we'll take it one game at a time. Well, you're running out of opportunities to do that. That's what makes that loss to LSU so significant. Now, to be fair to Arkansas, all three of their losses have come against teams that were ranked in the top 25 when they played them. But if you look at their non-conference schedule, of course, you know, they beat Arkansas Pine Bluff. And I appreciate those guys, you know, writing a check to the in-state institution there. I think that's wonderful, and it's something I'm glad that we do. But Arkansas Pine Bluff, 2-5, the Golden Lions, not really a factor in the SWAC race over there. They take care of Oklahoma State up until the final 2 minutes of the game and kind of let it get away from them, right? And everybody, I picked Oklahoma State to win that game. Guys, Oklahoma State's 3-4. Not great. Not great. Maybe you see it differently. And Torian Green had a huge game against Oklahoma State. And, of course, again, a lot of people didn't know what to expect from him. But now they've got an SEC play, things are different. And maybe you didn't know this, but Arkansas averaging 17.5 points a game in SEC play. UAB, another win for Arkansas. The Blazers, 1-6 so far this year. 1-6. Not great. And you know what Auburn's doing, right? And we talked about this, you know, Arkansas beat, Auburn should have beat Arkansas. You know, they're about to score a touchdown and give it away. They do. Auburn should have beat Arkansas. There's no question about it in my mind. And I'm sure Auburn folks feel the same way. Auburn's 2-5. You kind of see where I'm going with this? It's like you look at the record, and listen, A&M 6-1, they're good. Tennessee, good team. And Arkansas beat Tennessee at their in Fayetteville. That was a big win. There's no denying that. But then you can't stand Prosperity, right? And then LSU smashes them. And so, again, this is a team that Tennessee win was really loud. But, again, the Tennessee offense has not been great. And you look at this Arkansas schedule, too, you're kind of looking at the difference in the point totals. I mean, they were averaging, I think, 34 points a game in a non-conference. Might even more than that. I can't remember the math. But they scored 24 at Auburn, 17 against A&M, 19, and then 10 this past week. So, again, 17 points, and many of those came in the win over Auburn. So this offense not playing well, and now you take a team that's only scored 26 touchdowns on the year and you remove Jackson from the equation, who has scored 10. So they lose their best offensive player heading into this week. And he's been a little bit banged up anyway. I think only had like 18 yards last week. And so Mississippi State kind of catching Arkansas at a good time. They're going to be desperate. They're not going to have their most efficient playmaker available to them. So we're going to have to play well. They've also had some injuries on the offensive line, kind of shaking some things up. And we'll see how things play out. But the reality of it is, this is a game that Mississippi State really couldn't have asked for a better situation. Now, we got to go out there and do what we need to do. And this team is, and this fan base is hungry for a win. And my hot take today, I think Mississippi State's going to win. And I think there are a lot of people that feel the same way I do, and certainly within the building. This is a vulnerable Arkansas team coming to our place. We are ascending. They appear to be descending. We have to take full advantage of that. If you hadn't done so, please come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. And also, too, think about the gift cards. Maybe you're like, hey, Steve, I don't know if I want to do that, but I know somebody else that would benefit. Maybe they've had some chronic pain. Maybe they've got chronic anxiety. Maybe they just need a break, right? And you just say, hey, I want you to have a day of relaxation. I want you to get a good night's rest. Buy them a gift card. And you can do that. You can call 662-268-7601. We encourage you to come float for yourself. You'll be glad you did. It's a game changer. I've had a lot of people that came to book signings like, oh my gosh, where has floating been my whole life? And you think you know, but you don't really know. You can visit the website truerest.com. and find us on Facebook or Instagram at True Rest of Starkville. Or also on TikTok, not that we do a whole lot, but you never know. I may break out into dance one day and just do that on TikTok just for the attention, right? Because I'm attention starved. I don't ever get enough, right? It's true. But listen, we may be able to help you too. And I know that's something you should consider kind of thinking as we move into the holidays, looking for that great gift for somebody, that unique gift for somebody, to kind of give them the opportunity to do something special for themselves. Come visit us at True Rest of Starkville. Hey, let's get out of here. I'll be back on schedule on Wednesday. We'll try to do that show earlier in the day because we don't have a media opportunity. But again, go buy your books. Go to DirtyNobleBook.com. You can do that. And we'll be distributing some books in Central Mississippi bookstores this week. I will keep you apprised of that on social media and on the show. But right now, you can pick it up just about anywhere you buy great Mississippi State merchandise in the greater Starkville area, certainly at Campus Bookmart and Bookmart and Cafe. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.